Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it.
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Full mount, here's some ground and pound by Nogueira.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric O'Brien, along with Ken Evans and Joby Wan Kenobi, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. And some of the stuff that happens before we actually go on the air is sometimes better than the actual show. As Ken just looks at me and goes, show plan? I'm like, yeah, I got one. We're good.
See, I like this. We're usually very well prepared for the show.
One.
Doesn't sound like it ever on this side of the room, by the way. We understand that. But usually Eric's very good at making sure we know what we're going to talk about and what's happening and what's coming up. But since Bellator decided to do its first pay-per-view last week, we're just going to try to prepare the way they do by going, maybe somebody knows what's going on.
So here's what we're going to do today. We will talk about UFC 173. We will also talk to Muskegon's own Tony Ferguson. He will stop by and Dan Henderson will stop by,
Hendo.
So we will talk to Hendo and Tony Ferguson here in a little bit. We will spend a minute or two talking about Bellator at some point because I feel
I think it's worth more than the minute or two. I mean, it was surprising.
Should we start there then? Is that where you want to start?
We can. I mean, what do we have? We had King Mo losing in what was a controversial decision.
Yep.
It's not really a fight any of us have seen in HD. I guess
yes,
I'll just put it like that.
Sure, right. But one of the things that it looked like to me when I was watching the fight is that Rampage came to fight, King Mo came to wrestle. And what I like about that decision, I understand it's controversial, what I like about that decision and what I think is an upside to that fight is it takes a step closer to defining what a point for a takedown counts for. Okay, so you took a dude down and you held him there.
Mm-hmm.
Did you do anything with that? I mean, because that's not...
Because he really didn't. But,
right.
But it's hard, and I'm a guy that's always advocating that as well. You got to do something with the takedown. You don't want to overvalue strikes when a guy's owning another guy in the cage, which happened with this fight. But you're right. He didn't do anything there. It's tough, and I understand. I mean, we can't repeat or tell you what King Mo said. A lot of what he said after the fight,
maybe some of that, Ken, is that he wants out, and this is a way to get out.
Well, he might want out, but I mean, I certainly sense his frustration too. Because I think we can all safely say this is probably one of the first fights, if this is where we're going to start scoring things, we've ever seen happen like this. So King Mo went in with his game plan.
Sure,
went in with the GSP game plan. Safe to call it that, even
executed it.
Did it. He, every part of the wrestling, he owned it. He got caught a couple times, got caught bad once, which caused the swell of the eye, which caused some of the blood, and it looked bad, but really it was only one uppercut that caught him really clean.
Yep.
So, I mean, in his mind, he out-wrestled this guy for 3 rounds. He got caught with a couple pops, but the guy was able to not really do anything to him except catch him a couple times, and he was doing most of the striking. Fair enough. King Mo went out there and did what he thought he had to do to win. I mean, this is a situation where we need clarification. We do this every week now.
We do.
We need some clarification on what's going on here.
And what I will have Joe do at some point this weekend is we will re-put up the article from that doctor who's working on the new scoring system because...
Yeah, the professor.
It's really difficult to do, even in an hour show, I think, for as kind of compounded as that explanation gets. You really have to read it if you're interested. But for me, I think there are some things that look good. And I don't know if anyone's going to adopt it. I don't know if anyone's even, you know, at a higher level, save for journalists and friends of this guy, have looked at it. But it's interesting when you look at a fight like this and then you start to read this article that we'll repost that you see that, yes, Ken, we need to get to the point where you intentionally tell me that a takedown, if you don't, let's say we'll combine wrestling and jiu-jitsu for the sake of scoring. A takedown where you don't improve your position is 0 points.
Yeah, I think we just need clarification because what happens is guys train a certain way and train to do certain things. And we've had the same discussion with Sean on the show before with guys playing the game with the down position.
The down position, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we talk about that a lot. And he, as a trainer and a fighter, says, well, guys know what they're doing. And my point when that happens is, yeah, guys know what they're doing. And you get to the level of a Bellator or a UFC, guys probably train that. And if all of a sudden you walk in a cage and Big John or Herb Dean says, no, you're playing the game, I'm not going to call it. You can't just do that. And I feel like that was probably the frustration on King Mo on Saturday night. We've been talking about it. We've been advocating it. We've been saying, hey, if you just lie on a guy, you shouldn't get any points. But up until that night, really nobody's done it, especially, again, it was a pay-per-view, it was a main event. So you're in a main event level of a pay-per-view, and all of a sudden you're going to go, we decided those don't really count as much.
Well, and the other side of the coin, guys, is that fabricated or not, these two had been running their mouths for the better part of a month, either on Twitter or in person. Rampage got fined $10,000 for the shove that happened at the weigh-in. Yeah. So if you're King Mo, you're frustrated because your game plan didn't come to fruition and you didn't win this fight and you didn't get what you wanted, which was that release of the anger you have towards this opponent, which is obviously why you want to get in there and kind of, you know, squash that beef, so to speak.
Well, and I think, too, in the situation, I think even Rampage knew. I mean, and I have no reason to not believe King Mo, and Rampage hasn't refuted this. Right after the fight, before the scorecards were read, Rampage walked up and said, hey, man, will you give me a rematch? You don't ask for a rematch if you think you beat a guy. You don't ask that guy for that.
Because even he knew that if he had fought George St. Pierre and that had happened, he knew he lost that fight.
And yeah, and tonight he didn't, and you know, I he was lucky that night. Do I disagree with the decision? Not necessarily. I understand entirely, though, why King Mo was upset about it.
Yeah, I agree on a couple points here, guys. One, you know, judging is going to be subjective. So even if we can all sit here and agree, things need to be revamped. The scoring system needs to be revamped. But even if it was three different judges, that could have gone another way, too. So taking out that subjectivity of the judging is something that needs to be addressed. I think King Mo is also upset with Bellator and Bjorn Rebney. It's come to light, really, with all the media that they've been getting with Bellator 120, that their contracts are written really one-sided. They're onerous towards Bellator. A number of guys are very upset with it. So I think that's part of the frustration as well.
Yeah, and I know that King Mo, when he went over there from Strikeforce, liked the idea, as did Rampage, of being able to go between TNA and Bellator, because it's an extra mode of income that you wouldn't have had in the UFC. The UFC, despite, you know, you and I have talked about this, despite the logical tentacles that connect between the WWE and the UFC, that's something that's not going to happen.
Yeah, not here, and it happens a lot in Japan.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. If you remember the Pride days and a lot of those guys.
Josh Barnett.
A lot of those guys in Deep, and a lot of the, they did a lot of wrestling. Rampage did some of that, too, when he did a lot of Pride fighting. So it was a nice income level for those dudes.
Yeah, so I think they liked that, and then that, you know, TNA has been getting murdered in the ratings, and WWE is still sucking up all the oxygen of that sect of the universe. Right. And so, yeah, it's got to be really frustrating. And when you get in a contract that sucks and is one-sided, you want out and you're frustrated and you didn't beat Rampage. So, yeah, it boils over and this is what you get.
Yeah, and a lot of guys want to know, okay, are we a tournament organization where you win the tournament and you get a title shot? Or are they feature fights? Which one is it going to be?
Well, it depends. If your name is Will Brooks,
exactly,
yes, you get to do
or
both of those
Rampage
things.
Jackson and King Mo.
Well, the interesting thing is these guys want to complain about contracts. It's going to be the same anywhere. And I'm not even talking about MMA. I'm talking about boxing. I'm talking about MMA. I'm talking about WWE. You want to throw wrestling in there, TNA? These are corporations. You're never going to feel like when you see that number that they make at the gate and on pay-per-view, whatever that is. I didn't see enough of that. You know what? Most of these fighters are not writing checks to rent the arenas.
No,
they're not losing $6 million when a UFC gets canceled for whatever reason. I get that they want more. I mean, Ken Shamrock came out again this week talking a lot about what the fighters were and weren't getting and whether or not the sponsorship should be allowed. And I was thinking to myself, you don't see this in the NFL. Guys don't walk out there and put sponsors on their jerseys. You don't see that in the NBA. It's very interesting. I get that they're not making the top level money, but look at some of the minimum contracts in the NBA and NFL. You can't tell me that guys in the UFC that fight three or four times a year aren't making the same amount of money, essentially, because they are.
Sure. Well, they're unionized, too. So in the NBA, NFL, they get a certain percentage of earnings. It's like 51%. And even at that, they have, you know, strikes over 1%. The problem with MMA is it's not unionized, and I don't want to call it a problem. But
it's the same as boxing, and there's a lot of comparisons. Look what Floyd makes. You know what Floyd does?
Right.
Floyd rents the arena.
Yeah.
Floyd hires the guy who's going to fight. I mean, you get to that level, and maybe you can do it. I don't know.
Well, and there's two things here. One, in the difference between the NBA, the NFL, and MLB to UFC or Bellator is that you're an independent contractor. Right? And the thing that you've got to understand when you're in an organization like Bellator owned by Viacom or UFC is that, to quote James Altucher, if you don't know who he is, he writes a lot about kind of paving your own path and becoming an entrepreneur is that your the company you work for hates you in your eyes.
Amen.
They hate you because you you they're never going to pay you what you're worth because they need to post a profit. If they paid King Mo what he was worth, they wouldn't make any money.
What he thinks he's worth.
Right. Well, but it, arguable. They'd certainly, even if he was worth it, they're not going to pay him what he was worth. Even George St. Pierre, who largely is that rumored $5 million pay-per-view guy, right? He didn't get that every time.
No.
They had to find other ways to come up with that money because they weren't going to pay him out of the ticket and rental and pay-per-view points. They paid him in another way because that's not their goal. Their goal is to post a profit. Bellator needed to post a profit on their very first pay-per-view. So, of course, it's going to seem like it's totally unfair. And I'm not saying that King Mo isn't right, but you make those choices. You sign those contracts, and you're stuck with them. And the joy of being on that pay-per-view is you get to see Will Brooks essentially destroy the whole organization.
Ruined everything.
In front of 50,000 pay-per-view customers. I don't think they made their money back, by the way.
So Will Brooks defeats Michael Chandler in a split decision. And although Bjorn is saying, well, we could still do this Alvarez-Chandler thing, I don't know that anyone would care.
Well, that's another weird thing about their contracts. So Chandler or Alvarez, I can't remember which two. No, Chandler. He had it written in his contract that he gets that Alvarez fight regardless. So I get this fight, win, loss, or draw, I still get to fight Eddie Alvarez.
Which is a good idea.
It is, but you don't see that in the UFC. It's
not
very
good
unique,
for Eddie, but you know it's a good idea for Chandler to still stay in the spotlight. And Tito Ortiz fought a child.
Okay. I get that. Did anybody, as much as you're saying that, nobody was really even picking Tito, though. I think we all knew he had weight advantage, but nobody's really seen him win in a long time. So I don't know if anybody was picking Tito in this fight.
Right, until you watch the fight, and then you see that Alexander, you know, when Jimmy was talking about this, he's like, I wonder if he's comfortable with the weight. And you're like, did he eat 58 chickens and a cake? How did he even get up to this weight? Because it looked like if you fought your son is what it looked like.
Okay,
and that's not hyperbole. That's what it looked like.
Let's do a comparison, though. And again, I want
a comparison to something that happened.
No. I'm going to give you a comparison on how you would pick the fight.
To something that happened in real life.
No, this is hyperbole and make-believe. Okay. That's what we do on the show. When you should have handed me a sheet that told me what we were doing.
This episode of WOW Show is brought to you by Mr. Rogers.
Who would you pick if Johnny Hendricks fought Chet Congo? Because that would be, that's your real comparison. You'd probably pick Johnny, it's Chet Congo.
I wouldn't, no way.
No?
Chet is way too big for him.
No, okay.
Yeah, he's a monster, even at 205.
See, I don't know.
He nearly lost to a guy who didn't have a Wikipedia
page. That's why I made my point, he did win, but I mean, he didn't look great.
I know you
would pick Chet over Johnny Hendricks.
I would, yeah.
Let's go up much bigger. Let's go up a little bit, a little bit. Chris Weidman, Chet Congo.
Weidman. Yeah, Weidman would take him down.
So that's a 40-50 pound difference right there?
Yeah.
If you're going to put these events together, I think you have to be mindful. And I don't think this gentleman or these two gentlemen get the credit that they deserve. Sean Shelby and Joe Silva put on a fantastic product. Mm-hmm. And they do a lot of work to make sure that these matchups make sense. And you do not see this sort of thing happen in the UFC. And if you're going to be, you're going to ship it. You're going to put your very first pay-per-view out there so people can purchase it. It has to make sense. And if you think that Tito Ortiz, even though Tito Ortiz said it, I don't even know that he thinks it. You know, I can beat all the lightweights in Bellator. Fight one first. Then let's talk about it.
Why is that even on the table, though? Why is Tito talking about lightweights?
Well, here's the
fight a lightweight. But fight a guy who just carried weights in there to make weight.
If you want to talk about, though, feature fights and things like that, you have to have some type of cachet to the guy that's going to fight Tito Ortiz. Because at this point, he's not going to take on Rampage for whatever reason, King Mo, and any of those guys. So what do? You find a guy weight class down who's a champion. I get that he was a lot smaller, but I mean, I thought he would win this fight. I mean, what was Tito's last win? Was what? Ryan Bader 3 years ago? 4 years ago at this point?
And no one thought he would win that one either.
Yeah. No, I mean, you got to go back to 2006, other than that Bader fight, for a win for Tito Ortiz.
Yeah.
I mean, that 8 years at this point. So who do you put? You can't put him in against a guy who's actually had a win in the past 8 years and say it's fair, as much as he's a former champion, can you? Unless you start doing some finagling, and the way they did it is, okay, he's a champion, but he's lighter. Okay, let's see what happens.
He's a champion, but he's 11.
That's he's right. He's middleweight. It's one weight class down.
He looked tiny. You know, when they faced off, though, I don't know if you saw any of the pictures, he did look tiny compared to him. Supposedly,
he looked smaller than the middleweight that he was, supposedly.
Yeah,
I'll give you that.
Yeah, he looked tiny.
He's probably fighting up in middleweight. I'm not going to pretend I've seen Alexander Shulamenko's fights.
Yeah. Right. So there you go. There's that.
But but Johnny Hendricks over Chet Congo. That's what I'm taking. That's what I'm taking.
It's not a fight. Chet Congo is not in the UFC, so that's not going to happen. Even in
he should be back after
even
that performance.
Yes, he clearly should.
On Spike.com TV.
If you missed that fight of Chet Congo, there was a great moment where Smith goes to the corner after the first round and goes, "Hey, can we have somebody take a look at my cut?" And his entire corner goes, "We don't have a cut guy.
We forgot." Way to go, Bjorn.
How did you get into this building right without a cut guy?
Hey, Viacom, you might want to cut a check there.
We don't have a cut guy. All right, when we come back, we will talk about UFC 173. We will also be joined by Tony Ferguson and Dan Henderson. All of that on the way. It's Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
Way of the Warrior. Follow our Twitter account at Wow Show.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric O'Brien, along with Ken Evans and Joby Wan Kenobi. We will be checking in on and off with Sean Dazay as he preps Kevin Lee for his next fight coming up 4th of July weekend when they have the back-to-back fights both on July 5th and July 6th, part of the Fan Expo. So we will be checking in with him. We were going to do that today, but...
he didn't show up.
Right.
Oh, I'm shocked. Yeah, I'm shocked.
Well, he did call and say that he wanted to, and then he didn't, so whatever. UFC 173, it is this weekend. Lots of great fights on this card. And I know there's a lot of people who are talking about the main event between Barão and Dillashaw. And there was that Twitter scrum between Ben Folks and Dana White about...
Ooh, what happened? Clue me in. I missed this one.
Well, Ben wrote an article essentially saying that the UFC is trying so hard to make us care about Henan Barão. And Dana took exception to that. And they went back and forth a little bit on Twitter. And you've got this issue. And we've talked about this issue all the way back to when Henan came into the UFC, is just how explosive he is and how amazing he is. Mm-hmm. But there's always this threshold that you're dealing with, that you're dealing with a sport that, while it is worldwide, and Joe, you have talked about this a lot, people in the United States want their champions to speak English.
Right.
You know, whatever that says about the culture and the society, that's just what it is. And so you've got that issue. And then, as Ken has talked about a lot, these lower weight classes don't have the cachet. If Henan Barão was fighting at 205, he could speak. He could be mute, and they'd be like, "Oh, Henan Barão's coming. He's a ginormous man, killing people."
Well, I mean, there's another thing too. I think we can't take away the fact that he kind of got stuck in limbo where, even though he's been dominant and he's been a belt holder since, what, 2012?
Yes.
Over 2 years, he's held that interim into the regular bantamweight championship belt. He was never given that championship cachet for a couple of those fights. He was, I want to say, he wasn't even the main event on all those cards. And
it doesn't sell.
It's not that. It's the fact that he never got to go in and beat Dominic Cruz in a fight and take the belt, which is what we like to see, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give you the lower weight classes. Yeah, there's some problems. Henan Barão, though, is the real deal. And he should be getting a lot more credit than he does. He's never had the chance to go take that belt. And that's a problem.
Let me ask you the serious question. Do you still think that matters at this point?
No, that is also another problem. I don't think that matters. Like, if he beats Cruz at this point, Cruz has been out for 2-3 years at this
point.
It'll
be three at the time that they would fight.
See, that's the thing. He never got to go take that belt. He never really got to prove him. There's a lot of fighters in that division where, yeah, we know Uriah Faber, and he beats Uriah Faber, but, you know, Eddie Wineland, what? I'm not sure what's going on there. You got a guy like Chris Weidman, who beats Anderson Silva twice. Legit dude. We talked about him in the last segment, beating him heavyweights. Yep. That's how legit he is, because he beat Anderson Silva, and he beat him twice. You got a guy like Henan Barão. I mean, other than Uriah Faber, most people are going to look at that list and go, I'm not sure who those folks are on that list. I don't know who he beat, and he didn't beat a champion to get his belt. That's a tough situation to be a champion.
Completely agree. And going on what Eric said, too, it's the language barrier, but it's also the showmanship and personality. So if Henan Barão had Conor McGregor's personality, we talk about Conor McGregor, who's won like twice in the UFC, on the show more than Henan Barão, who's 32-0.
But guys like... yes, and that's probably a little bit unfair, but Conor McGregor is one of those guys that understands what we've called the chael, You know? Chael knows that you just talk yourself into things that make you interesting and people want to be around you. Conor McGregor has been out for a long time, but yeah, we talk about him incessantly because we don't care when he comes back. We don't care who he fights. He's that guy that's just going to go in and fight. The unfortunate part here, though, is both for Hennin and for Dillashaw, is Dillashaw's the real deal. Mm-hmm. Do I think he has the answers for Barão? I don't know. But he's the only dude, I think, out of that camp that has a chance. Obviously, we've seen Uriah try it twice, and he came up short both times. And Dillashaw, by all accounts, and I mean everybody in that camp, says that he is the beast of all beasts at Alpha Male. So if he's the best of the best of the best coming out of that camp, people should be more interested in this fight than they actually are.
Well, the interesting thing about this fight is the winner is obviously the real deal and should be the champion at this weight class. But the win for either of these guys, obviously it'll help TJ a little bit more. He's not the champ. He'll have taken that belt away. He'll probably get a little more rub than the dominance that Hennin Barão had if he's able to win this fight.
Totally
Hennin's
agree.
Still just sitting there kind of, oh, you beat TJ Dillashaw? What? Okay, cool. That's great.
How would you fix this?
I don't know how you fix this. He's stuck a little bit. He never got to beat the champ. I mean, Dominic Cruz helps. At some point, Dominic Cruz helps this situation for Hennin Barão. But
what if he never comes back?
I don't know. I mean, you've got Hennin Barão, who hasn't lost a fight in 10 years, 12 years.
Yeah, he's not going to go up the weight.
2007, he lost his first fight. Yes. There was a no contest in there, but he lost his first fight.
You're right.
And he won't go up in weight class either because Jose
2005.
Aldo.
That was 2005 where he last lost a fight.
Jose Aldo is his training partner down in Brazil at Nuevo Uno, or however you say that, Eric. So he's not going to go up to 145 and, you know, get a super fight there. This fight's interesting, and I think TJ will do well in the first round. Hennin Barão is like Floyd Mayweather in that he's a master of adjustments. So in between rounds or even within the round, I think he'll make the adjustments that will put him above TJ Dillashaw.
So when we ask that question that we often ask, especially when we get to talk to the fighters in the fights, if so-and-so wins this fight, what did he do? You would say if we come in on Monday morning and TJ Dillashaw won that fight, he's won it in the first round.
I would say, yeah. And, you know, I think if TJ's going to win a round, it's going to be the first. And I think Barão will adjust to TJ's game plan. Now, TJ trains under Dwayne Bang Lugwood in their whole Muay Thai system, which is brilliant, and he's been doing fantastic in the UFC. So if you guys remember his last fight, he was just throwing wicked combos. He'd step off line, 1-2 over here, step off the other line, throw head kicks. It was just beautiful and fun watching.
That's good, and we're going to love watching the fight, but it's tough for these guys. They're sitting at the top of a card that also has... You know, we're going to talk to Dan Henderson coming up in the next segment, and Daniel Cormier in a fight that a lot of people want to see because we want to see how Daniel's going to do in this division against a guy like Dan Henderson because we haven't seen that yet. I mean, he fought a barista. I'm not trying to make fun of anybody.
The barista got a new fight, by the way.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah.
And then you've also got on this card Robbie Lawler, who's like the opposite of Hennin Barão as far as whether or not he needs a belt. You want to see anytime Robbie Lawler fights. So
you want to see that because he says things like he said this week. He said, if the UFC judged on damage, I'd be the champ in three different divisions or something along those lines.
Totally agree with that.
He just plows through people and makes you pay. But to your point, what's fascinating is last week we were talking about Uriah Faber's new fight against number one ranked Uriah Faber's fight against number 13th ranked Alex Caceres. Mm-hmm. And we were fine with that. Mm-hmm. But here we are going, I mean, Hennin Barão and number 4 ranked TJ Dillashaw. I don't know about that. I don't know.
That speaks to Uriah too.
I don't know.
And that I don't want anybody.
Uriah Faber versus number 77 ranked.
I don't want anybody to take I don't know out of it. I want people to take away the fact that I see where Ben Folks is coming from on his Twitter rant, and I see where Dana's coming from in wanting respect for his champions. I don't know if this guy's carrying a card. That's all I'm saying. And Dana White might Twitter rant on me.
And I don't know that either. And I don't disagree with you that if you invert those to Daniel Cormier and Henderson at the top of that card, that you sell more pay-per-views.
Right.
The problem with that, though, is at some point you have to take a stand and go, no, our champs...
And I do like that stand that Dana's
taken. Our champs are the main event. Unless there's more than one championship fight, then we'll adjust according to what's going to be the draw. But sorry, guys, if there's a belt on the line, that's the championship, and that's where it sits.
So this should... But I'm going to say this should live on Fox right now. That's where this should live. Living on pay-per-view and saying it's your main event, I think it's a tough sell. And I do like the stand that Dana White's taking. Yeah.
Lawler and Ellenberger and Henderson.
No, I'm talking
but,
about.
But I mean, you're buying the whole thing. It's not like you buy them one at a time.
But I'm saying if your main event's Henn and Burrell, TJ Dillashaw, it lives on Fox. The rest of this card stays on pay per view and you find something else for
I
me
see
to
that.
Put
and
in
they've
the
been
top
doing
of the
that
card.
With the lightweights. The Flies and the Bantams have been getting the Fox cards.
I get it, and he's taking the stand. And I agree with you, Eric. You got to take that stand, and you got to say the champions are the main event. I'm just looking at this, and I think Ben has a point on Twitter, and I think Dana's got his point, and they're gonna agree to disagree in not those nice terms.
Yes, they certainly do. Co-main event we've alluded to, undefeated Daniel Cormier taking on Dan Henderson. Henderson, as we are talking, and this all changes because Vegas is a moving monster, but right now a 7-1 underdog.
7-1.
Do we need to do the math for you, Ken?
On a guy. I've got a dollar, and you give me 7.
Dan Henderson's a legend, right? Strikeforce champ, Pride champ.
Yes.
He actually held 2 belts in Pride. His last fight, he went 3 rounds that he was losing poorly to Shogun Hua. He won and knocked him out in the third. It was a lopsided fight that he won with a shot. You still have to give him the credit.
You absolutely have to. Here's what you have to give him. You have to give him that you can pretend that he's getting chinny. You've only seen him get knocked out once, right?
Yeah.
But you saw it, and it's hard to unsee it. It's hard to unsee the fight against Shogun, but when it mattered, he ended the fight.
Yeah.
And so that makes it dangerous for Cormier. Because Cormier, despite his pedigree, last fought a barista.
Yes.
Right?
And he's also won the Strikeforce Grand Prix, though.
But let's go to Eric's lineup of Murderer's Row when we talk about fighters versus fighters and who they fought. And win or loss, let's look at Dan Henderson's Murderer's Row. We're going to go back to Shogun Hua. Won that fight. Lost against Vitor Belfort. World champion.
Yeah.
Vitor Belfort.
TRT
at that level.
Vitor.
Fair enough. So even worse.
Exactly.
Godzilla Vitor.
Yeah.
Rashad Evans, always at the top of that light heavyweight picture. Always. Lyoto Machida, again, a former world champion. Lost to him. Beat Hua, obviously, that was a fight of the year probably back in 2011.
Yep.
Beat Fedor.
Awesome. Yep.
Emelianenko. You got Cavalcante in there. Yeah.
Didn't he retire Cavalcante? Cavalcante didn't make it over to the UFC, and he's not in Bellator.
No.
So look at that list, and then you go to Daniel Cormier's list, and you see Roy Nelson on there.
Yeah.
High-level guy. Frank Mir.
Yeah.
Probably the best win, I think, on Daniel Cormier's resume. Then you got Deion Staring. What was that? I don't even remember that. That was
Starling, right. That was obviously, they were in the twilight of Strikeforce. They were looking for somebody to put in there, and that was a lopsided fight.
Barnett was in there, and he said he was sick. And again, I wanted that rematch first, but I know that Daniel needs to make the move down. So it's tough to look at those two lists of fighters and tell me that Daniel's been as tested. Daniel's certainly been tested. I'm not saying he hasn't, but then you have Dan Henderson.
Well, you've got two things here. You've got a guy who you're going to have to kill in the ring. You know, when we talked last week about Matt Brown, you know, you kicked him in the liver and you nearly stopped him, but you didn't, so he murdered you for 2.5 rounds and then knocked you unconscious.
Beat up Dan Henderson a long time, but he's going to come back.
But he's got that H-bomb. At all times.
Yep.
And he's proven time and time again that if you let him have one of those, it's going to end your night. On the other side of the coin, you've got Daniel Cormier, who I love some of the articles that have been coming out this week. They talk about him being an angry weight cutter. Like, that cut to 205 that we've talked about is not pleasant for him.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've got an angry guy who feels that he's been disrespected. I don't necessarily disagree. His pedigree, you know, he won the championship in Strikeforce for the tournament. He's a guy who, like you said, has fought some high-level guys and just can't seem to get the respect that he deserves. And so you've got that, which I think makes for a really, really fun fight. I don't know that 7-1, though, is a fair...
I think, some things going into the 7-1 is, one, Henderson is the oldest active fighter in the UFC at 43 years old.
He is. His first fight off TRT.
Exactly. That's the big one. And, you know, we've been watching the videos online. He looks great in training, but to come off TRT and just a couple months later, you know, have another fight, I don't know that you can recover that well. From everybody else has been saying, it takes a lot longer. Everybody's unique. I get that.
Well, it's not that, but, like, you look at guys like Henderson. You look guys like... when he was more sane. Vanderlei, you look at guys at Rampage, you look at Shogun. All of these guys, they came out of the Pride world.
Here it comes.
This stuff doesn't bother them. You know, they just it's what they do. He's going to get in that ring. He's not going to be freaked out about not being on TRT. He's certainly not going to be scared of Daniel Cormier no matter what happens. And that sort of person, for as old as Dan is at 43 years old, we're losing that generation of fighters who just go to war to go to war.
Well, remember the Fedor fight. We were there in Chicago when it happened, and Dan came out looking as calm as I saw any fighter that night, walking out to fight Fedor, and got what everybody thought he got caught. Remember at the beginning of that fight?
Yep.
He didn't get caught. He suckered Fedor right in. He wanted Fedor coming in close, and he finished the fight. And that's I think that speaks to the mindset you just spoke of, Eric. That's what he's going to do. So Cormier's going to have to bring his A game. He always does. Mm-hmm. I'm picking Cormier in this fight.
Yeah. I think most people will, but Dan's just one of those guys that, like...
But let's remember, too, that's how the money moves that line.
Yes,
not the actual probability
of
winning.
But as you're at home or at Buffalo Wild Wings having that conversation on Saturday night with your friends, know that Dan Henderson has a legit chance of winning this fight.
He's got a legit chance. Yeah. So have you guys been watching the UFC Embedded?
I love it.
Isn't that awesome?
Explain this to me
briefly.
Dana's been doing what he calls the vlogs, Fight Week, Vlog Week, and he, you know, does 7 or 8 minute videos that you see stuff from the past pay-per-view leading up to this pay-per-view, and then it stops, and then he starts it over again. They've started this other thing called Embedded, which is essentially the UFC version of what CNN has done with wartime reporters, putting them inside with the troops, and you get to see what that day-to-day operation is like. And so it's not so much sitting down and doing...
Is this a 24/7 feel, like we see with...
Yes, but they've separated them. So you know how 24/7 also has the UFC primetime feel, where they sit down and they interview them, and they're slightly off-key, and they're talking... Mm-hmm. That part's gone. It's just following the fighters around, watching what they're doing, and then they talk to you. They break down the fourth wall and talk to the camera a little bit, but not so much formal interviews. And it gives you a really, really killer inside look at what they're doing day in and day out. And, you know, there was a wildfire, and so Dan let this jiu-jitsu tournament come into their gym while he was in the middle of training. And you get to see these things that wouldn't probably make a Fox show of primetime, but would be interesting to a fight fan to kind of see how that whole camp is going.
For sure. So watching these, we got to see that there's a ton of respect in between these two guys. And actually, DC idolizes Dan Henderson. He's always looked up to him as being a wrestler, who's also very successful in MMA. And they're actually doing media together, which is super weird. So they're sitting together, you know, 4 feet away from each other doing interviews throughout the day. I don't know how comfortable I'd be with that. They must have had to agree to that. So my point is, you know, I'm watching this with my wife last night, and they show DC going around hitting all
the
appointments.
You know how to get her in the mood, don't you?
So they show DC going around, you know, hitting all his appointments and stuff, and then they show Hendo. And he's kind of like, he moves around like a, you know, like a grandpa, like a 55-year-old man, or like a pro wrestler who's 55. Stiff, very calm and collected, and he's always been that way, and he'll go into the ring that way too. But he just, if you just looked at those two guys and see who's more athletic at this point in their life, it's definitely DC. Those years are starting to show on Hendo.
There is no doubt that that's a true statement. The thing that I like about Dan, both as a person and as a fighter, is that he's fearless even in the face of age, right?
Oh, yeah.
There is no 43-year-old on earth that's like, oh, Daniel Cormier, totally, he's undefeated, no problem.
Yeah.
When do you want me to show up?
Right.
Not a problem. Dan Henderson's like, yeah, cool, you want to sit next? We can, you know, you want to go get something to eat before we do this thing?
The last time we saw somebody at this age, this dominant, would be Randy Couture.
Yeah, and then
he was a tactician. He wasn't necessarily the brawler,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he left at this age, then came out of unretirement to fight Tim Sylvia, and kind of the rest is history, retired at 47. So Dan has said this week, in case you are wondering, I might ask him about it here in a little bit, but he has said he does not want to stick around that long. He doesn't know when he wants to leave, but 47 seems like too old.
He's got 5 fights left in his contract.
Does he really?
Yeah, he just signed that sixth.
The Shogun was 1 of 6.
Oh, yeah. I do remember we talked about that, because I didn't figure he'd finish that contract. I figured he set it up so he could have some big money fights, and this is a decent money fight against an up and comer like Daniel Cormier. So it'll be interesting.
If he loses badly Saturday night, I really hope Dana has a talk with him and says, all right, you know, let's wrap this up.
Well, let's, I mean, at light heavyweight, guys, you know, we kind of alluded to it probably 10 minutes ago, the murderer's row. It's not going to get, if he wins this fight, it's not getting any easier. You beat Shogun, you beat Daniel Cormier. Well, now you've got Gustafson you've got to deal with. You've got Jones you got to deal with. You've got Glover you got
to
deal with.
I don't think he's looking for those fights anymore, to be quite honest with
you. He wants a title shot. This is his last title run. So I love what you're saying here, Eric. So DC wins and he gets a title shot.
Sure.
DC versus John Jones. Not even close. John Jones is just, his skill level and his talent level is so much higher than DC will ever be.
And I don't know that I'm ready to say that, but I will agree that it's really hard to train for. And if I was Cormier, I probably would Texas Hold'em this and go all in on fighting Gustafson first.
No, he wants Jones next, and I think he's getting him next.
I know he does, yeah. And I know the fans do, and I know all right. of that stuff. But I would want to test myself against somebody with that range first and see how I handle a guy like Gustafson. And if I tear through Gustafson, then I just plan for the Jedi part of John Jones. The length doesn't bother me anymore, right? Because I know how to deal with that.
Yeah.
But it's Dan's career. You can do it.
Well, he's not 27, though.
Right.
Daniel Cormier.
I understand that.
I don't think.
But if he tears through Dan Henderson in a minute, he's not injured. He can fight next month if he wanted to.
Right. But I don't think you take. I think you're 35. You take the fight with a champion as quickly as you can get it.
I'm just saying, if you had the opportunity, I would want to fight somebody else with that length just so that that wasn't the surprise, because that's going to be a hard thing to find, unless you're going to train with Gustafson, and I don't know that that's going to happen since they're both in the same weight class. I'm just saying.
Sure. You would be very altruistic in your fighting style there, whereas Daniel Cormier is just trying to go get himself a belt. You're just saying take more steps. That doesn't make any sense.
Not saying take more steps. I'm saying better prepare yourself to win the fight. And what better way than to fight against somebody who has the same sort of distance as a John Jones does. When we come back, Dan will join us. Henderson, that is. We'll talk to him. As well as Tony Ferguson, who's also on the prelims card. It's Way of the Warrior. It's your MMA show.
Follow our Twitter account at Wow Show. Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior. Eric O'Brien, along with Ken Evans and Obi-Wan Kenobi, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. And on the phone right now, a dear friend of mine from Muskegon, Michigan. He will be fighting in the prelims at UFC 173. Tony Ferguson is here. Tony, how are you?
Doing amazing. I heard I was doing the interview with you. I was like, oh, dude, that's my dude. I know him.
Well, it's funny. When they put out all the lists for 173, I put your name in first. I'm like, look, I know him. Please let me talk to Tony Ferguson. We would like to bring him back to Grand Rapids and Muskegon and let people hear about his big, huge fight this weekend. Let's talk about Kakuno. How excited are you? Everybody is fired up about this fight. They know what you can do at this division. This is yet another test. He's a two-time deep champion, one with the actual welterweight lightweight title, and one a tournament champion. How excited are you for this fight?
I'm stoked, man. But if he's got only that liver kick and that's the only thing that he has, he's gonna have his hands full. That's the same thing I told everybody. You know, everybody was like, "Whoa, his stand-up is amazing. You know, he's gonna take you down with this thing." For me, they were telling me, they're like, "Hey, we want you to take him down." Me, I like a challenge, so what I did was I got another stand-up coach, and I was trying to
You're like, for me, I punched myself in the liver for 8 straight weeks, and I think I'm ready for this fight. So
yeah, I think so, man. We're ready to go, man.
Well, I mean,
I'm not afraid of this dude. You know, he never faced a guy like me, so I know his accolades are really good up there, but, you know, I've been competing for a very long time, Eric, and, you know, I'm just more than ready for this.
Well, you're more than ready for this, and you're a guy who every single time somebody counts you out, you absolutely deliver. And so for him to think, and I'm not putting words in his mouth, but for him or anybody to think that this is going to be easy for him, or that liver kick is going to be his key to success, I think is severely underestimating you. And plus, you've been in Vegas for, 17 hours, and you've already won at the one of the diamond slots. So, I mean, the eyes are they're shining on you, my friend.
Yeah, it's doing great, man. You know what? The first thing, one time I was actually with the Ultimate Fighter, I put a buck in the diamond machine, and it ended up took off. And they gave me like $20, and I was like, all right, cool. I said to my wife, I was like, hey, give me a buck. She's like, really, really, really? And I was like, yes, really. And she didn't give me a buck, and bing, boom, $20 came out. And I was like, all right, we're on a roll. I was like, this is perfect. We're in Vegas. This is amazing. We're here to not have fun. We're here to do business. I was like, but this is cool. You know, things are going off on a great roll. You know, this whole entire camp, everything's been amazing. The weight has been great. You know, the transition from, you know, Ventura County to Orange County, you know, switching up my whole life has just been amazing. You know, I had to take these steps in order to get to that next level. And this is just that opportunity. You know, we're going international with Fighting Kakuno. You know, this dude's from Japan. So when I'm sleeping, this dude's up in the mat, up and at him, you know, practicing.
Yeah, and what I've always, you know, you and I have been friends for a number of years, but what I've always liked about you as a person is that you're always super positive. And even when you're this positive, you can tell a difference in you. Like, you've got a lot more energy right now, it sounds like, than any other time that I've talked to you. And so these changes seem to me, as somebody who has some knowledge of you, that you're in a really, really good place for this weekend.
Yes, I'm in a very good place, EOB, bro. It's just amazing how much when you can focus in, you can zero in and hone in all your energy towards one thing, which is just bettering your life. You know, and just not even outside of the fighting game, you know, just making sure that I'm taking the steps to make sure that, you know, just overall average life is just going better. You know, I want to make sure that I'm taking the steps to be able to, you know, not just do a repeat performance, but I want to go out there and put enough good enough performance so I can get one of those performance of the night bonuses. You know, start saving some money, you know, and just keep doing that. This is exactly what I wanted to do when I was little. You know, I wanted to become one of the world's best fighters, and this is what's happening.
Now,
but, you know, it's no easy task. You know, we make it look easy on that TV, but, you know, it's a lot of hard work, and the hard work is done. You know, we put all the hard work in before the fight, you know, what you guys don't see behind the scenes. So you guys actually get to see that huge performance at the end, you know, and hopefully after this you guys will all be clapping.
Now, Tony, speaking of the behind-the-scenes stuff, they started recently, the UFC, this thing called Embedded, where they kind of put somebody with you and follow you around with a camera. Is that something that you would be interested in, you know, as you get a couple more fights under your belt and people start to recognize you? Because you're a highly charismatic individual, a lot of fun to talk to, a lot of fun to hang out with, and it seems like the camera would be a natural thing for you.
It would be amazing. You know, I would love for that to happen. You know, there's been some talks about it. I'm down for it. You guys can see me training, you know, and you guys can see my intensity and then see, like, I pass out right in between, you know, practices for like 10, 15 minutes, and then boom, I'm back after it again with just a little bit of food. You know, this is exactly what I've been doing my whole entire life, and now I, you know, this is my profession, and, you know, I take it very, very seriously. But fortunately for me, you know, I, like you said, I like to stay positive and I like to keep that energy going. You know, I don't like to be like, oh, I'm moping, I'm cutting weight and this and that. No, man, it's old news. I've been doing that for a long time. That's not even an issue anymore. You know, we're here. Embedded would be amazing to have them follow me around so that way you guys could get to know me a little bit. You know that I'm not such a bad guy. I'm actually pretty decent and I work really, really hard.
You know,
that's what I want people to know me as.
You certainly work very hard. Tony Ferguson joining us, UFC 173 this weekend. Big, huge main event, Tony. Henan Barão has been virtually unstoppable. Do you think Dillashaw is the guy who has the answer for this fight?
Hey, you know, with Dwayne Bang has been over at the Alpha Male camp. You know, if anybody has a chance, it'd probably be Dillashaw. This kid's hot, man. This dude's just hot off the press, you know, for the Ultimate Fighter. The same thing like with me, you know, being a blue chip. This kid's a blue chip, too. You know, he's a wrestler. He has that ability to take anything that he learns, apply it directly, immediately. And what I see with him and Dillashaw, I see a very explosive fight. You know, Barão's, his stand-up is amazing. You know, I had a chance last night. We were actually downstairs in the corner, and I took a picture with Henan Barão. I'll try to send that to you over there. And, you know, I was just like, oh, what's up, champ? You know, how's it going? He was a really nice dude. So I have, like, no animosity towards either of those fighters. Who I think is going to win, you know, I'd like to say that, you know, since we're in the same corner, I'd like to say, you know, Barão would win because he's the champ. But I would always like to see American go in there and do the dang thing. And, you know, Dillashaw has the best chance.
Absolutely. UFC 173 this weekend on pay-per-view. Tony, you have your hands full, but it's going to be a very, very fun fight. I cannot wait to see you back in the octagon. Is the plan for the rest of 2014 for us to see you a couple more times? Because it's been a minute, obviously. It's been since October.
Yes, definitely. You know, from my last stint, I had a little, not an issue. We actually decided to take the plate out of my arm. I could just feel it inside, you know, when I was in the fight, and I just didn't like it. I talked to the doctor, and I was just like, I just don't feel right. I don't feel natural. And he's like, well, you know, you're going to have a couple holes in your arm. And I was like, well, duh. You know, and, you know, I have a plate, you know, that's like a foot long. And he ended up taking it out, you know, drank my milk, took my vitamins, you know, I got good rest, listened to him and rehabbed it right away, and my arm is strong as ever. So this year, I don't plan on getting hurt. That's the plan, is to keep going forward and just keep racking them out. You know, I don't know how many more fights I have on my contract for the Ultimate Fighter, but I want to make sure that I leave these people, you know, just standing, and they're going to be like, hey, when's this dude going to be on a main card? You know, I see when I'm signing these posters that I'm not on the main event. And you know me, I take, you know, a lot of pride in, like, making sure that, you know, I always try to, like, do better and better. And that's what I want to do. I want to keep going until I can keep racking up the main events or co-main events and just boom. You know what I mean? Just make sure I'm getting towards that road to that goal.
Cannot wait to see that happen. Tony Ferguson joining us. UFC 173 on pay-per-view this weekend, taking out Kakuno. It's going to be an awesome fight. Do not miss it on the prelims. Tony, best way to follow you, the website or on Twitter?
You can follow me on my website at www.tonyfergusonmma.com, or you can follow my play on Twitter and Instagram at TonyFergusonXT. If you really want to and you got a fan page on Facebook, I know everybody's got the Facebook, check it out, Tony El Cucuy Ferguson. Click like, give it a share, and thank you.
Tony, have an awesome weekend. Can't wait to talk to you again, my friend.
Hey, thank you. It'll be awesome to hear from you, bro.
Take care, bud.
All right, bye.
And from Tony Ferguson to the legend, Dan Henderson. Dan is on the line. He will be taking on Daniel Cormier. Hendo, how are you?
I'm great. How you doing?
I am awesome. I was just enjoying your Popeye's chicken prank on Daniel Cormier.
Yeah, it was entertaining, for sure.
You don't seem like a guy, in the course of your career, I can't recall a time that you have been emotionally invested, and by that I mean trash talking between you and an opponent. Is this just kind of par for the course for you? This is a job for you. You and Daniel obviously are cordial. You've been doing a lot of media together, and then on Saturday night you just have to get in there and get it done.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I like him, but I don't mean I'm not going to try and knock his head off.
Right, and I'm certainly not implying that. But you know, you see a lot of fighters playing this new game where they ramp up all of this trash talk, and then they kind of have to have this explosion on Saturday night or whenever they end up fighting. And you two are certainly not doing any of that at all.
I've never needed to do that, and this, you know, definitely isn't one of those circumstances where I dislike it, the guy. So I don't think there's any reason to do any trash talking when I can go out there and do what I need to do inside the cage.
And speaking of what you need to do inside the cage, you and Daniel Cormier, co-main event. You win this fight. What do you want to do next?
We were told winner gets a title shot. So that's pretty much what I'd be looking at. I'm not even really giving much thought to that other than, you know, making sure that I don't waste this opportunity. I just need to beat Cormier.
Saturday night, UFC 173 on pay-per-view. Dan Henderson is joining us talking about Daniel Cormier. How has camp gone, Dan? This is obviously the first time you've gone through a camp in the way that you're going through it right now. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling great. You know, I just my body feels good. No injuries. Yeah, I feel strong, and I'm moving well, and feel like I'm absolutely ready to go.
And we are absolutely ready to see it. UFC 173 on pay-per-view this weekend. And the UFC had added a different element to this pay-per-view that is yet one more kind of tentacle into the TV world with this embedded. How have you found the process of embedded even maybe a little bit different than, let's say, the countdown shows that they do or Dana's vlogs?
They're not following us around the whole day. They're getting pretty much, you know, filming the stuff that, you know, they feel fans would want to see. It hasn't been too bad. I was apprehensive about it, but, you know, they've been great, and you know, it added a little bit of entertainment.
Yes, you have.
I guess, you know, so.
Were you apprehensive because you didn't want the distraction, or you just don't want the cameras around, or what was the apprehension?
Yeah, a little of both, just the distraction and cameras, and you know, sometimes when you do that, you know, it wears you out a little bit more, like you feel like you're doing, you know, having to do extra because of the cameras are there, or you know, extra interviews or whatever, but it hasn't been like that at all, so it hasn't been bad.
Awesome. That's good to hear, because it's been very fun to watch it. The fourth one went up. Is there more after that, or is the fourth one going to be the last one for this?
I think they're doing it probably all the way up till Saturday.
Gotcha. So we'll just keep on the YouTube channel at UFC. Dan Henderson is joining us, taking on Daniel Cormier in the co-main event spot on pay-per-view. Dan, if people want to follow you, I know you're kind of on all of the mediums. Is one of them your favorite that you want people to follow you on? I mean, you're on Instagram, you're on Twitter, you're on Facebook. Which one is the best to follow you on?
Probably any of them. You know, I just finally got my same name that I have on Twitter, which is at Dan Hendo. On Instagram, so I just finally got at Dan Hendo on the Instagram thing. So that one I just started kind of building, but the Facebook and Twitter have been there for a while, and you know, both of them have a little bit different content that I put up. I kind of randomly do one or the other. So that's where they can get me.
Awesome. Dan Henderson joining us. Always a pleasure to have you on for a couple minutes. I know you got a lot of these to do, and it can be a bit arduous to get on the phone with all of these guys. So I will let you split. Good luck on Saturday night. It is UFC 173 on pay-per-view. Have a wonderful weekend, my friend.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Take care.
All right. You too.
And you can follow along with all of the fights all weekend long at UFC 173 on Twitter and Facebook. Just search WOW Show. We will catch you next week with results and anything else that breaks over the weekend. It is Way of the Warrior. It's your MMA show.
Way of the Warrior.